If you feel resistance, you feel frustrated, you feel shame, you feel guilt, like, these are very clear indicators that you're not connected to yourself anymore. 95% of our thoughts are subconscious. It's like you are just on autopilot in the things that you're doing. What that means, though, is you're not aware of these thoughts. Nature is my urge. Whenever I'm outside, I feel most connected. Do I necessarily believe in the stories of Jesus and God? And I don't know. But do I use the word God? Do I pray to God? Yeah, I do. But I also use the word universe. This is why I'm single, because I hold on to the hope that this person is going to become what I see. I see so much potential in people.
Love is Blind, a reality TV show. What was that like?
They pitched the concept to me. They did say, you know, there could be, like, you get engaged, there could be a wedding at the end. And I was like, okay, cool. And I didn't really understand what that was going to look like or mean. I was just like, cool, and I get to go on TV.
I'm pretty horrible at the intros, Kelly. I do them some shows, and then I don't do them some shows. And I'm like, you know what? I could tell we were already in a flow, so it's like, perfect. Let's hit record. But anyways, I cut you off because I was like, yo, we gotta get this uploaded.
I am saying that I got certified as a health coach 10 years ago, in 2013, actually 11 years ago, and was doing it working alongside, like, a corporate job for the first 5 years. And then I left corporate. I've been in and out of corporate a couple of times. And, you know, 2018 was the first time I hired a business coach. But it was like not one-on-one. It was a group setting, which was amazing. I loved it. She helped to more so, like, you know, attract your, like, ideal client, as well as create digital courses. So I did create a digital course while going through her program. And I probably made back about 60 to 75% of my investment in that program. So that was amazing. And then, like, 3 weeks later, I think 3 weeks to a month later, I started filming for the reality TV show. So things went south kind of quick after that. But it's been just fascinating. I worked with a business and mindset coach a month after we got done filming, and just one-on-one. And I worked with her for 4 months. I've worked with her here and there since then. But she's absolutely fabulous. You know, I joked with her because I was like, you did more for my mind than you did my business, because I had never had a mindset coach. Like, I had never really learned about subconscious reprogramming and limiting beliefs and all that. Like, granted, I had started this whole, like, personal development journey in 2018, so a year prior to. And I was like, okay, I was loving all of this, like, new information that I was consuming, and the way that I was starting to feel and the shifts that were happening within me. And I'm like, wow, this, like, self-love journey is so cool. But with the business and mindset coaching, I was so ecstatic about how she was helping me have breakthroughs and, you know, even the breakdowns leading to the breakthroughs and everything, that I was like, I have to do what you're doing. And fast forward, like, a year later, and I had a call with her one day, and she was like, Kyle, so have you, are we doing this business and mindset coaching? And I go, sometimes. And she was like, you're like at the deep end of the pool, and you have your arm on, like, the ledge, like, you have your hands on the ledge. And she's like, just push off and go into the deep end. And I'm like, I know. But granted, you know, I am a very, you know, grateful person. I know things happen the way that they are supposed to. And over, you know, since the airing of Love is Blind, and I attracted different types of clients, you know, I've continued with health coaching. I transitioned and did a little bit of, like, relationship coaching or self-love coaching, that kind of thing, because it made sense. I'm like, I came from a dating show. I should probably do some, like, self-love relationship programs. And I did. And that was wonderful. I had, like, 12 girls go through one of those. But I still felt like something was not there. Like, I was like, okay, feeling a little exhausted. Again, I was, like, spread really thin because I was doing all the things after the show aired. So that was where I was back in corporate America. So working a full-time job, creating content, doing brand deal partnerships, creating content for them, and, like, doing the coaching stuff too. It was just a lot. But every single time, like, if someone, I always ask them, you know, what do you do for work? What do you do for work? Do you have a side business? Have you ever thought about having a side business? Whenever I start talking about business stuff, something inside me just explodes. Like, I'm like, this is where I want to be. And granted, no, I've never made six figures in my business. I would love to be there someday, but I never have. What do you think? It was just the divine timing of the show stuff and my nervous system being all dysregulated from everything. Like, I couldn't consistently give and show up for people. So it's like, I launched something, I'd, you know, cater to those people. And then it was like months would go by and I wouldn't launch anything else. I wouldn't offer anything else, or I would and like no one would sign up. And I was like, but that's fine, because honestly, I'm too exhausted to like really even give them all of my effort anyways. But I knew when there were certain girls that would come to me and they're like, okay, well, I need this advice. Like I need life coaching or relationship coaching. But also I just became a health coach and would love to, you know, pick your brain about these things. I'm like, perfect. Let's talk all about that. Like, I just love talking strategy. And I think it like the overall thing is I just love helping people expand their minds, because that's what someone helped me do. Really tap into that expansion and gratitude, and like even, you know, working through like money mindset, limiting beliefs and things like that. It's like, you know, years ago, prior to being involved in any of that, like booking a $1,000 plane ticket would have been like, oh my God, that is, there's no way, I'll just drive or I won't go, you know, kind of thing. But like the other day I booked a flight to Switzerland and it was like $1,100. And I'm like, cool. Like, you know, I'm like, I just don't have that lack and like scarcity mindset like I used to. Certain things, yeah, I'm not totally healed or anything, but it's just interesting how I don't make it as big of a deal anymore.
Yeah, you usually how you like connect your thoughts to your actions, right? Because your thoughts become your actions become your habits. And it's like, well, you know, I've never made six figures. Well, your brain and your mind, by having a day job, right? Working a normal corporate job that you may or may not be making six figures, people can be thinking like, well, why should I be making six figures, maybe the same or more money on a side gig, a side hustle? Who am I, right? Like, who am I to make that? And, you know, it's not to be, you know, you have to be a steward of money. You have to respect it. And I'm all about being frugal. I mean, look, I had this sweatshirt. You can tell it's pretty faded these days. I'm a Bitcoin fan. So at the end of the day, just throw your money in Bitcoin, right? And that'll maybe end well. Not financial advice, by the way. Nothing.
Maybe end well.
Yeah.
Guarantee.
Yeah, yeah. No, no guarantees. That's my but for you, I'm seeing this, this happen and unfold from social media over the years, to where people are out there creating and they're making impact and building communities and helping people. And then there's imposter syndrome that can pop up, to where, you know, again, who am I to charge people X amount? Who am I to be able to go to Switzerland and enjoy this great vacation? But then also too, you know, for you, I'm curious, for your coaching, consulting, you know, in health, in relationships and self-love, where it's, you know, a big burden sometimes as well. You know, if you're going through some struggles, you're going through hurdles, it's like, who am I to coach these people about self-love and relationships? And I'm curious on your take on going through the reality TV show, Love is Blind.
Yes.
I have not watched that show out of choice, unfortunately. It's for my significant other forcing me to watch it. And then I'm the guy that will, like, I don't want to watch this shit. Like, put the game on, you know, or I just watch this, I'm working. And the next thing you know, I'm standing up like, what the fuck is going on? Why are you doing this? And then, you know, that's what it usually turns into. Yeah. But have you had some haters, or have you had some negative self-talk along the way, as far as like, who am I to give people relationship coaching advice? I'm not even in a relationship, or I haven't been married, or maybe I've been divorced, whatever these things are. And have you struggled with that at all, or have people came to you and say like, how are you doing this, or why are you doing this?
Yeah, I would say the latter, like people coming to me. I would say that, so back in like 2014, 2015, I experienced my own like health issues. Like I gained like 30 pounds and five pounds feels like a lot. 30 pounds was a lot. And at the time, like I had been health coaching for 2 years at that point. I was like, oh my God, like who's going to want to work with me when I've just gained 30 pounds, you know? So that was huge. And then I became like a Beachbody coach, and their programs literally saved my life. I mean, because I had hired personal trainers. I felt like I was doing all the right things, you know, to like try and lose the weight and everything. And even my personal trainer, everybody kept asking me, like, you know, what are you eating? And I, chicken breast, asparagus, sweet potatoes, berries. Like, the worst thing I do is binge drink at the time. That, like, that was the worst thing I was putting in my body. And
you're looking jacked now, though. Look at that.
Yeah.
I see the biceps. Let's go.
Right. Yeah. I eat very well. I've always eaten very well. But nobody asks me how much am I eating. They ask me what I'm eating. Say it in the personal trainer. I mean, you've trained celebrities, you know, like this person. And I was like, then I was introduced to Beachbody, and this woman, like, because I was very you know, vocal about just health and my journey and whatnot online, and this woman reached out to me and she was like, hey, I want to do you have like 20 minutes, hop on a call with me. I'm like, sure, you know. And obviously I had seen some pictures and posts of hers of a trans body transformation, so I hopped on a call and she was like, I went to this program, this is what was happening. She was like, I gained a bunch of weight, it's because I was under eating, excessively working out, all this stuff. And I was like, that sounds very similar to what I've been doing. So anyways, joined the Beachbody program, started doing the programs. And yeah, probably within like, you know, a handful of weeks, I started losing weight. I was eating more food than I had been in probably a year and a half. I mean, I was like starving myself. And I think my cortisol was just like in survival mode. My body was in survival mode. So it was storing carrots as fat. I mean, anything that it could, it was just storing fat. But anyway, so I started losing the weight and everything. That was great.
Like, were you pretty stressed when you gained the 30 pounds as well? Like, were you, did you just get finished with the Love is Blind reality?
No, actually. Yeah. Cause this was 2015 and we filmed in 2018.
Okay.
Yeah. But I was just stressed from other life.
Life. Yeah.
And yeah. Just other life things. But yeah. But otherwise it was just a bunch of stress on my body, I guess. So the cortisol was going crazy. But what is interesting, so I learned a lot about, okay, you have to eat more food. Sometimes it's about eating the appropriate amounts of what is like the right foods, like healthy food, nutrient dense foods, right? Not going and binging your face off on cheeseburgers. Like, I just, there's healthy foods, there's macronutrients and micronutrients, and our body does need these things to survive. It's not about calories only.
Yeah.
So I definitely had a story to share. And, you know, at the beginning of that weight loss journey, I made a very strong, vulnerable post about, you know, I've really hated myself the last year that I gained all this weight. I feel like an imposter. I've been a coach for, and I just put it out there. And I had such a response. And like, the biggest response was like, I would actually want to work with you more now because you understand what I'm going through. And I was like, shit, all right. I did. So I helped a lot of people actually as I was overweight, quote unquote, you know, like, so I did help a handful of people. And then as the show aired, I had lost like the rest of the weight over that time. And when we were filming the show, I probably weighed about 10, 12 more pounds than I do right now. So I still hadn't gotten to where I would like to be. They're my quote unquote normal. But from the time like the show filmed and then the show aired, I had lost weight like I look today. And we filmed like our reunion episode. And you could tell, like, I was definitely 10 to 15 pounds lighter. And people were like, oh my God, like, what'd you do to lose weight? Blah, blah. And I was so, like I said, I had talked to that, right? Because I had worked with that business and mindset coach. I was
like, did you throw Ozempic? You're like, I just use Ozempic.
Yeah, I definitely. No, definitely not. Do it the right way. Do it the healthy way. But I was like, gosh, I keep trying to transition into like the business and mindset coaching space. And it's like, now I've been introduced to the world as a health coach. They've seen a transformation. And granted, I probably could have, you know, what is it? Like, give them what they want, show them what they need kind of thing. So probably could have like launched some type of like health program or something, got them in the door and then started to transition them, you know, particularly if they were like entrepreneurs or wanted to do like a coaching thing. But I didn't capitalize on that. And I mean, yes, I would create some content here and there, but not consistently focused on that. And I'm like, but whatever.
Clear channel as far as like, sorry to interrupt you, but it was like, you didn't have a clear channel from, hey, I'm going to get you from the watching the show and these new followers to bringing them through a funnel, click here, sign up for a newsletter, text community, and then hop on like a sales call and close them on or buy this, right?
Right, right, exactly. And if I did, because I did have a newsletter, you know, like there were things that I was doing, but it was just very inconsistent. It was all very inconsistent. And granted, I'm sure if someone like looked back and been like, well, Kelly, you made like you helped like five people that month and whatever. Like,
yeah.
It's like, I think I was just so in the like, well, this isn't enough. I got into that like lack mindset and so ungrateful and just petty about things. And because, you know, I saw other castmates of mine that were like, you know, they don't have to work a day ever in their life probably now. I mean, one of my castmates made $300,000 in 1 month. That never happened to me. So, you know, I was like, the hell, like, what am I doing wrong? You know, what's wrong with me? Why don't people want to like work with me? You know, but of course you do. And I understood this. It's like, but when you get so emotionally involved in something, you forget the intelligent factor of things. And I was like, I know that I need a structure. I know that I need a system in place, but I'm like just throwing spaghetti against the wall. Everything that my business coaches told me not to do, that's what I was doing. I was like, yeah, just let's see what, if this works, let's see if this works. I probably should have just, and my mom even said it at one point. She was like, Kelly, why don't you just like take a back step from the coaching? Just work your 9 to 5, do the brand deals. And like, just take a step back. And I was like, you're telling me to like stop something I'm passionate about? Like, no, like I'm not going to do that. And I just kept forging through. And again, I was able to help people, but I know that there are some clients that I was not fully able to show up for. And I do feel bad about that. You know, but it is what it is, water under the bridge now. But, you know, I've just been pivoting and trying these last like 6 months. I've just been trying to like, let go of things that are really gonna not serve me in the future. Like there are times like I'm like, oh, I'll take like a break from doing phase. And I'm like, yeah, I'm ready. I can like take on like 5 coaching clients, but I really want to focus on like the business coaching this time, you know? And I'll like start to think about it. And I'm like, yeah, but will I really actually want to be doing that in like 6 weeks from now? So,
yeah, you know, that's true.
I don't know, factor myself into doing things. And I think that's what I was doing the last 2 years. I was like, well, maybe I should just do this. Maybe I should.
Yeah, just being very, short-minded, right? To say, you know, this happened to me, so I need to make this decision right now, not being like forward future thinking. But also, you know, as I'm sure you have clearly, is continuing to give yourself that grace as well to say, like, I was just on a reality TV show. I have a job. I'm starting to launch a business and work with brand deals, technically multiple businesses, right? It gives you a whole different sense of like gratitude and, you know, just understanding that like, whoa, I can actually be grateful for my job that maybe I hated before. Now I actually don't actually hate it. I actually enjoy it. Maybe not the most passionate, and I don't want to spend every waking moment here, but it does give you a sense of gratitude. You know, I've tried to express this myself. I think one of the biggest opportunities, if not the biggest opportunity right now in 2024 and years ahead, are people like you that have a job that, again, they don't necessarily want to climb the corporate ladder and invest every single ounce of their energy and effort and resources and time into it. But they're like, hey, my coworkers are great. I make good money. I'm a good employee. I'm a good team member. And I get consistent results and I can do these other cool things. I can hop on a podcast show. I can do some side brand deals. I can coach some people from time to time. I can still go on cool trips to Switzerland. I can get a podcast show up and going because I know you had mentioned before we went live, you have over 100 episodes already and you're relaunching it. But I think a lot of times people, again, after coaching thousands of people myself, they get too married to the idea because they see all these people online showing the watches, showing the Lambo, showing a lifestyle. And I've been guilty of it as well in the past, but it's like, hey, there's nothing wrong having a fucking job. You know, like there's nothing wrong with it. For me, I would be fired the first day for sure. Like I'm a full-blooded entrepreneur. Like I would be fired day one, maybe at the first meeting. But There's nothing wrong with that, having a job, right? There's nothing wrong with it. And it's really fucking hard. Like, it's just really hard. Being a businessman is really fucking hard.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. Definitely. I mean, my mini tastes of just solely doing my business and the emotional roller coaster and spiritual roller coaster that it presents you with is just, well, you know, it's a lot. But yeah, I mean, this job that I'm currently at, I started in December of 2022. So just a little, almost close to a year and a half I've been with it, but it feels like it got me out of my house because I was like, I was coaching and doing the podcast and creating content all in my house, like everything. And, you know, granted, we were coming out of COVID and everything and we were all in our houses anyways. But this job gets me out of my house. I am a social butterfly. I thrive connecting with people and I get to meet with people every single day. But I can create my schedule and I can put as much effort or as little effort as I want. Granted, the more effort I do, the more I look at this as a business. Like, this is my business, although I'm getting paid from someone else, you know, every 2 weeks, which is so great. I'm so grateful. but I have to run this like it's my own business. Like, I have to be forward facing with these clients, you know, at their beck and call in a sense. And I'm like, this is great. It's been teaching me a lot of things too. Like, this is how I would like, you know, the journey of my business to be like too. So if I can maybe, and I just learned a lot from this, but it's gotten me out of my stuff.
Yeah. I mean, that's it right there too. It's like sometimes actually getting a job in corporate America is better. So you can understand just process and systems and how to organize a team meeting week to week, month to month, year to year. And then there's this massive upside if there's actually legitimate good team culture, like, you know, going to events, meeting coworkers and creating lifelong friends. But I think, I don't think there's a better time to where you could work hybrid. You can go in the office and you can come home and be more efficient and effective depending on the day and what's going on in your personal professional life. And then you can do other side stuff, podcast show, brand deals. You know, put content out there, get some clients on the side while still respecting your employer. One thing that knocks me a little bit, you see people posting like on, maybe this is just TikTok before they potentially ban it, or at least that's the sentiment these days. People that will like make content go into their job, like saying how much they hate it and like to watch their content and do things so they can leave their job. And I'm like, I don't know how you haven't been fired.
Right.
It just... That's in my opinion. It's like, well, then just leave.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
you know, if you're that miserable, just leave.
Exactly. They probably are the friend meeting on that call to be like, oh, you saw it. It's not great.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm like,
amazing. Thank you.
I think it's just gratitude. I think that's really what I'm saying. And it seems like you had a lot of that over the last, you know, couple of years, last 6 months in particular, going from, you know, job to getting a new gig or business and then kind of putting some things on hold to reshift what you actually want to do. Hence the name of the show, as I mentioned before we went live. I think most people do all these things for nothing, right? And, you know, look, you usually have to do a lot of things to figure out truly what you want to do. But a lot of times we know, like a lot of times we know, and we usually don't like to make a shift or change because it is viewed as failing. In fact, failing is good. Fail early, fail often, fail cheap, where you're like, yep, I'm going to cut it with the podcast because it's taking money out of my pocket. I got to pay for the production. I'm not making money from it. And I have a job that pays me well. And if I put some more effort there, I'll make more money. I'm not going to the gym as often. And I could actually probably pick up one or two clients on the side and reevaluate things in 6 months, and then I'll just relaunch the show exactly like you did, right? So I think that's all just in our head, as you know, right? Just
It is. I mean, the first time that like I said, like 2017-18, I left corporate for like the first time just to pursue all the coaching, my business stuff. And then it was like a year and a half later, I had to get a job. Like, I needed a job. I had to have consistency again. And because, like I said, the filming of the show just kind of rocked me a good bit. And I was holding on. Like, I was like, I am not. Like, these are going to start working again. I'm going to get a client. And it was just like, no, it was just not happening. But, and that's when I was, though, I was finishing like wrapping up working with that business and mindset coach. And I was like, I'm ready to do this. So I started transitioning a lot of my content from like talking about nutrition and fitness. And now I'm talking about like money mindset and being an entrepreneur and all this stuff. I'm like, of course I'm not getting a client, because people are like, wait a second. I just want to learn about recipes and you teaching me how to do squats. Like, what? So, you know, but I was so impatient and I was like, where, like, what's happening? Anyways, needed to get a job, but I held off. I mean, I was working the job for a couple of weeks before I like went on my social media, and I was like, I was hesitant to tell you guys this because I feel I'm embarrassed because it, like, my business didn't work, right? Like, I was like, I feel like a failure, but I know that this is just helping me. I can still do my, you know, my business on the side and everything. And, you know, but I think that's it. It's like, we do see everyone else being entrepreneurs, and I feel like we self-shame. It's not working the way that we thought it was going to work, where we're not further along in our journey. Like I said, I've never brought in six figures with my business, and that's okay. Like, I'm okay with that. Granted, yeah, I wish that I had maybe learned and stuck to certain systems and structures, because yeah, maybe I would have, but it doesn't matter at this point. And at the moment, I don't feel like coaching, whatever it is. I don't feel like that's like where I want to be right now. Like, I'm really focused on just relaunching the podcast. And even I talked to someone earlier, a client of mine, and he was like, are you doing like a launch party for your podcast? And I was like, I didn't even think about that. I'm like, that's a great idea. And he's like, yeah, just like, you know, go to like a rooftop. It's springtime, like a little rooftop patio or something, to do a launch party. I'm like, such a good idea. I didn't think about that. Okay. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, maybe I'll do that too. Like, I don't think about things. I'm like, let me just get it out there. And like, I'm impatient sometimes. I'm just like, I just want to do it. But yeah,
or also maybe not, right? Like, maybe, you know, maybe that could be like, well, like, I didn't think about that. Maybe I'll have a party like episode 150, or maybe I'll have a
totally
party, instead of like psyching yourself out to be like, do I have to have a lunch party? Like,
right. Yeah. No. And I didn't think that. No. But I was, that would be so fun. I do like those types of things. I like in-person events and connecting with people. I mean, essentially, like, where I see the podcast going and growing, like, I would like to do like a live podcast tour and like fill up a room and have, or a theater or something, and have people come, and like, it'd be interactive and fun and dance party, and it'd be so fun.
Yeah, I think the move with podcast is, and I haven't done this yet, but very similar to what you had just said, right? Like, I have a text community where people can text, and, you know, that's how, but basically it's conversation, right? The way I look at business and the way I look at things in life is like, how can I put stuff out there that curates and creates conversation where people want to DM you, they want to join a newsletter, they want to, you know, join your text community, they want to comment under the video, whatever it is. How can we spark conversation? Obviously, the goal is positive conversation, of course, to where then you can get those people in a room together and or get them to have conversations amongst themselves. And I think a cool way to do that, you know, similar to what I did when I was back in Columbus, Ohio, is getting like the most, you could say, maybe not the most influential, but people I was intrigued to have conversation with myself in my backyard. Whereas I think a lot of people, or at least how I did not want to do it, not necessarily what's right or wrong. I just didn't want to go get people that were the big business names and fly them in, or go out and fly out to them, or get them on virtually, which again, there's nothing wrong with that, right? I like to have all different types of guests, all different backgrounds, all different takes on life and business and everything in between. But it was like, hey, wait, why don't I just start in my backyard? Why don't I start here in Columbus and get the most, you know, intriguing people I want to talk with? And then over time, it's like, hey, then I can do a podcast tour in Columbus where I invite 2 to 3 guests, almost like an event, and then you can have 50 people there. Or you invite just all your guests that you've ever filmed with to show up to some event, and you can do something cool that way as well. So I think that's cool. And then you can, you know, track and see when your viewers, you know, join your newsletter, or they text in your community, you can see a lot of times their area codes, like where they actually live. So then you can see like, okay, I have most people in these 3 cities. You don't have to guess, or obviously you can drop something on social media to see where people would want you to go. But I'm curious, before we dive more into like, because I want to hear more of like what your vision is with the podcast and the new approach that you're taking with it. But Love is Blind, a reality TV show, what was that like? What do people like me that will probably never go on a reality TV show, like what would we find intriguing about that experience?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely very real. Nothing was scripted. We were maybe positioned to speak on a topic, but they didn't like, hey, here, say this, you know, it was nothing was scripted. So,
and you were season one too, which is, I think, always the best. It's always like the most authentic of a show. They're like, all right, if this does well, we'll maybe script it a little bit more. But usually like season one of a good reality TV show, it's like, oh, this is the real shit. This is actual reality.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And we didn't. So if I remember correctly, the show had not been picked up by Netflix yet when we were filming it. I remember them saying, oh, you know, there's like a Netflix rep going to be on set today, film it, you know, like observing everything. We didn't know how big the show was going to be. So that was just very unexpected for all of us. A very big surprise. Because, I mean, and I'm not a big reality TV person. Like, I just didn't have a job. Like, I was just working for myself. I got a phone call. They're like, hey, you know, and I'll tell you the backstory on that. With Married at Sight, like 3 or 4 years prior to. And so it was the same product or same casting. They had my file. So that's them calling me. I normally don't answer random phone numbers, but I was like, this one was calling from Santa Monica, California. And I was like, that sounds like a good place. Let's answer that one.
So, warmer than Atlanta, I'll take the call.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, that sounds good. And yeah, they're like, Kelly, it's so-and-so from Kinetic Casting. Are you still single? I was like, I am still single. So they pitched the concept to me and I was like, yeah, that sounds actually honestly amazing. Granted, yes, they did say, you know, there could be like, if you get engaged, there could be a wedding at the end, blah, blah, blah. But I was like, all I heard was blind dating experiment type of thing. And I was like, sight unseen. Okay, cool. And I didn't really understand what that was going to look like or mean. But I also didn't think I would connect with anybody. I didn't think I would actually make it through to a wedding at the end. So, you know, I was just like, cool, and I get to go on TV. That would be fun. Granted, I also didn't know if it was pilot. Like, I didn't know if it was actually going to air. So I just, you know, I did theater in high school a little bit. I like growing up, you know, what do you want to be when you grew up? I always would say a baby doctor, teacher, and actress. That's all I would say. So I'm like, okay, I get my chance to like be on set somewhere. How fun is that? Like, maybe once or twice I did. I was an extra in American Pie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's sweet.
Yeah. That was a very long night. We didn't start filming. We got there at 2. We didn't start filming until like 10 or 11.
Wow.
And we left at 5 a.m.
Why is that? Just the amount of time it takes to get people on set, make sure everyone's there, make sure that like the scripting's down and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a lot. And I got a headache and I was like, oh my God. Like because I think I was just so tired and I'm like, oh my God. But then, you know, and then we're only on set for like a minute, like for a little like filming thing. But I'm like, oh, and like, but I was like talking to, you know, Nistler and whoever else. I was like, cool.
Yeah, crazy. That's like awesome.
It was fun. But anyways,
probably one of the first bad movies I probably ever watched as a kid.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Mom.
It was fun. But anyways, back to Love is Blind. I mean, there was so much realness. I wish that, and I think they do give a little bit more pod time on air, like what they're showing on air now. But like for season one, I feel like it's like we had a couple of scenes in the pods connecting, we're getting engaged, and now it's like the rest of the show. And I'm like, the pods was so, that's where we made our connections. And like, granted, that's probably why the show took off the way it did, because it was like these people knew each other for an hour and they're already getting engaged. Like, it's crazy. But it wasn't. Like, it was 8 or 9 days. I mean, granted, so like very short period of time, but it was 8 or 9 days that we were in the pod growing connections with the people. And we talked
for how long during those eight or so, like
our, it was like, the first day we had only 7 or 8 minutes with our first date, because there was 15 women and 15 men. So, so it was like 7 minutes in
dating. Yeah.
So we were just 7 minute dates. Very quick. That went by very quickly. And then it would progress. So that 7 minutes became like 20 minutes. And then it became like 30 minutes and 45 minutes. I think our longest date was like an hour and 15, an hour and a half. And that was like a morning and an evening date. So we may have had a total of like 3 hours with a person, but still not that, I mean, still not that long. So I don't know as far as like how many actual minutes or hours that we collectively spoke to the person, but it was like we were going on dates with this person once or twice every single day for 8 or 9 days. So it's essentially 8 to 16 dates. And that doesn't happen in the real world. You know, it's like you go on a date, maybe a few days later or a week later, you go on another date with the person. And we're having, because you're behind a wall, like you're having, could be having very deep, vulnerable conversations. I was like, I'm over this surface level bullshit. Like, I want to get to know you, because if I'm going to get engaged to you, like, I want to know more. And I'm a very just vulnerable person. So I need someone else who feels vulnerable and is more emotional too.
How did you open up to being vulnerable? And then how did you get the other person to be vulnerable as well? Like, what were you asking?
Like, I would ask, I know one thing I asked, you know, like, what was your favorite childhood toy and like why? Or favorite childhood book? What was your favorite memory, you know, with your grandpa, you know, things like that. Like, so I was asking more than just like, what do you do for work? I really wanted to just get to know them. And I don't know, like those conversations would then like just open up the conversation. I mean, I was talking about family situations of mine or like past, like just hardships of mine. And it would open up for the guy to be like, oh yeah, I've like, yeah, I have a brother who, you know, experiences this and it's been very hard on the family and blah, blah, blah. And so, you know, I think a couple of the guys actually were emotional, like crying with me, tearing up and stuff. And I was like, oh, I love you.
What a sissy.
Oh, no.
Men are not allowed to cry.
They are. We love criers.
I'm joking. I've been guilty of it once or twice in my lifetime, they said.
Yeah.
I like that approach too. Like, instead of saying like, what's your, you know, instead of like approaching it negative, I feel like that can say a lot about a person as well. Like if you ask them like, hey, what's the worst thing that's happened to you in life? You know, instead of saying like, hey, what's your favorite childhood memory with your parents, or your favorite childhood memory with, you know, your siblings? What's your favorite childhood toy, your favorite childhood, you know, hobby? Now, usually what happens is if you say something like, hey, what's your favorite childhood memory with your parents, and something happened to their parents, or maybe they didn't have a good relationship with them, maybe they'll just say it like, well, none, no good memories, right? And then, you know, hey, if they want to take it to that type of conversation, not even to be negative, it's just maybe the truth. But I like that approach as far as being vulnerable. And then, yeah, usually to get other people to be vulnerable is being vulnerable yourself instead of having a wall up.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, you know,
I was just going to say, like, the conversations that I had with people that I didn't make a connection with, it was because they were just very surface. And I was like, yeah, all right, like I don't feel anything.
Yeah. Where would you guys go? So I'm curious, again, this is how it was with the show as well. Like I see it on our TV at home. I'm like, this is so stupid. And then like 20 minutes later, I'm like working, and then I'm like not working. I'm like stare at the TV, like getting like all the emotions as well. But So you guys would go in like the pod, wouldn't see each other 8 or 9 days. Like then what? Like you would leave the room and they would like, you just go back to a hotel, or you would stay there?
Yeah,
so no. You would never see them at all, like ever?
No. Like our van to take us to the set to our hotel had like black paper up on the window so we couldn't see out in the event that they were walking, and so we couldn't see them.
Did you like think of all these questions to think afterwards, like, dang, I should have asked this, or I should have maybe not said this, I should have said that?
Not that I remember. I mean, it was almost 6 years ago now that we filmed this. I may have, but no, I don't think so. I think I felt like really good. But it was interesting. Like even those like hour long dates that we would go on. I mean, obviously we're talking on those hour long dates. We're talking with the people that we have made very strong connections with. So, you know, all of a sudden it's like the date's over and you're like, no, I still wanted to talk about things, you know? So that was the only like frustrating thing. You're like, damn it, where you were in like a middle of a conversation and there was supposed to be like a light to flicker or something to like warn you, like you have like 2 minutes left or something. And maybe I wasn't looking in that direction and I would miss it sometimes. And literally it was just like the mics would just drop mid conversation. Yeah. And you're like, oh, I wanted to finish or I wanted him to finish.
Crazy. Yeah. And it's the first season too. So like obviously things will change and evolve. Maybe they won't do that. Maybe I'll talk longer now, which seems to be the case. But for those that don't know, so what was that like full experience for you then? Like you went through that whole process and then what? Like,
yeah.
What was that all like?
Yeah. I mean, the full process of it, I did enjoy the experiment. I loved every bit of it. I thought that it was a great social experience. Production even asked me at the end, last day of filming, you know, would you do this again? I was like, absolutely. If there was not a wedding at the end, I was like, that was like just the biggest emotional component of everything. Because I'm like, I'm in a wedding dress. I'm not marrying this man. My parents are seeing me for the first time in a wedding dress. Like that's a big moment for a daughter, like that and her parents, for anybody. But I mean, for the girl and their parents, it's just a very big moment. I mean, I just remember like my parents walking in and just immediately just crying. And I was like, I know. Like, you know,
you did you so know right away that you
were like, I know, but I'm not marrying the love of my life. This sucks.
Did you know, like, so when you saw him, like, when did you know, like, I'm not going to do this at all?
Was
he uglier or better looking than you thought?
No. He was, when the doors like revealed open and he was revealed, I wasn't immediately like attracted to him. I thought he was a handsome, attractive man. There just wasn't that physical spark for me. But he then kissed me and I was like, he was a really good kisser. I was like, oh, okay. And then just like as time went on, the personality that I grew to know behind the, you know, in the pods started just matching with his, you know, physical appearance and it was coming together. Although, you know, throughout the show, I was just like, my head and my heart aren't connecting. Like there's like something not right. Like there's something not right about this. But him and I had conversation. We were very open about things. We had kind of had a conversation about the wedding, or we did. We had a conversation about the wedding, marriage, everything earlier on. And we both had agreed that this was not how we wanted things to go for either of us. We both said no at the altar, but they only showed me saying no at the altar.
That's how they have to build up that hype a little bit. So then you get some haters and you're like, yo, if I knew that, I was just going to say it, I would have had his ass go first.
Yeah, right. I'm like, what the hell? Yeah. So, granted, they had him, they had both of us, you know, say the I do or I don't, because they didn't know exactly how they were going to produce everything until later. And I think they just had more of a storyline to work with me. Because I kept talking about, like, in interviews about, like, you know, just like past relationships and broken heart from one and things like that. So they just, and I was talking more vocally about like the type of guy that I liked, and I'm more usually drawn to like brunettes and he was blonde, and they just had a lot more material from me than from him, and they were able to spin it better. So
yeah, better.
It's fine. But yeah, I did get a lot of ugly messages and comments, and I think just, you know, things that attacked my character of like, you know, people, I mean, not that this is bad, but, you know, saying like, oh, he dodged a bullet with you. And I'm like, you don't even fucking know me. Like, no, he didn't. Like, we both dodged a bullet with each other. Like, we didn't go down this avenue. And he's so happy. And I mean, he's happily married. I mean, like, and I love them together. They're so, so, so sweet. yeah, I just...
You guys stay in contact? Do you guys like follow each other on social media and stuff?
Yeah. Or? I do remember if I still do. I know he doesn't follow mm-hmm. me. Cool. We're Facebook friends. We do follow each other on Facebook, okay. But not on Instagram. But I do. I think I was following him. I may have just muted his account just for whatever reason.
You're in his search bar. I know you're in his search bar. Don't worry. He may not be following you, but you're in his search bar. Don't worry.
Yeah, but I get it. I mean, obviously, like I totally understand. I mean, it was. Actually, I mean, we had a relationship, you know, and I could be considered an ex, you know, to his girlfriend or his wife. And, you know, but I've met her and she's lovely. I mean, they're both awesome people. So I have nothing negative to say about either, you know, any of them or anybody.
So then do you transition out of the show? You say no, you go through this, you know, emotional roller coaster, I can only imagine. And you start putting stuff out online, right? Hence what you were talking about with like the coaching and the business. You have some people making comments about he dodged a bullet. And you think that took a, like overall, you think that that took a negative consequence leading up to, let's say, 6 months ago to where you just weren't maybe handling that adjustment and that transition as good as you are now to where you had to get your headspace back and be like, what just happened?
Yeah.
3 to 4 years. Was that?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, I know this is based on the therapy and coaches that I have worked with on a personal level that I, you know, I'm a fixer. I'm a people pleaser, like through and through. And so when it felt like the world was against me, although there were so many people that were like, you know, women empowerment, you said no at the altar, like love that for you, you know? But of course we focus on the negative and I got very consumed in like the social media engagement and or lack thereof compared to other people that I was, you know, that I knew. It really took a toll on me mentally. And granted, again, it was like self-induced. I'm like creating my own stories around like, oh, well, maybe if I create this type of content, then my followers will like it more. But it was just the algorithm, more or less. You know, it's not like people aren't liking my stuff. It's the algorithm not pushing my content out to people for the most part. But, you know, yeah.
Were you creating content, though? Like, be honest here. Like, even the stuff you were creating, algorithm aside or not, like, do you think that it was, like, your most true authentic self and the content that you wanted to create? Yeah.
No, like, I've mentioned that a couple of times on previous shows. There, like, I can go through my feed right now and pick out probably 10 posts that I was like, I did that because I was influenced by something else, someone else's, because I thought that it would give me like a higher engagement.
It's like the person that goes to Italy and they create the like video of them getting on the plane, checking in the hotel, doing a little tour of the hotel. It's like, did you fucking book a trip to Italy to be in one of the most beautiful places in the entire world? Or did you go there to make a cool little 60-second Instagram reel? Right. And that's not to knock people that like travel. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm saying that from my own experience as well, where it's like, what are you doing this for? Again, hence the name of my show, All for Nothing. Like, you literally just spent your headspace, right? Like, your mind was not even consciously there. You were so worried about when you got back on that plane home or you got home, you were going to post that and you were going to be so cool and it was going to blow up and whatever, right? And it's cool that you say that and you're vulnerable enough to share, because that's, I mean, again, that's one of the main reasons why I created the podcast show. I was looking at my content. I'm like, dude, people don't even know who I am, and they don't even know the cool people that I know and how cool they are. So let's just create a platform where we can entertain, inform, have fun, be our most authentic self, and fuck an algorithm. I can care less about
it. Yeah. Now I'm like, okay, I don't care about it, you know, because that's the thing. It's like, I feel like, actually, I felt like I have a lot of followers. I don't have, you know, I have a beautiful following, engaged audience, you know, when I'm posting on my stories and whatnot, and sometimes more viewers, sometimes not. It doesn't matter. But I was very much, like I said, just very consumed in the metrics and the engagement and everything. And I don't, like, although, yes, I was authentic for the most part, there are some things that I wasn't. And I just didn't love that. And I felt very disconnected from my community. I mean, if someone was like, oh, like, what are you, you know, or, you know, when you put up like the questions box, like ask me anything or like whatever, it's like, oh, if 2,500 people watch my Instagram story, like five people will put a, I'm like, okay, my audience has no fucking clue who I am. Like that's how, or they feel like embarrassed to ask for it. Like maybe it's more about them. Maybe it's not about me. I don't know. But I'm like, I know that there are girls out there, like friends of mine with very much less following. And like they'll do like a Q&A or an A or ask me anything kind of thing. And they'll share the results. And it's like pages of things. I'm like, I don't get that unless I'm like talking about like Love is Blind or something. Like I just don't. I'm like, that's not who I am. Like I'm not only Love is Blind. I'm not only a reality TV person. I am so much more than that. And I have, and although yes, I have shared a lot of my personality, I haven't fully showed personality.
And what is that personality? Who are you then? If you're not just a member of Love is Blind, who are you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a social butterfly. I like dancing. I'm very spiritual, but I like having cocktails at times. Like,
so you're Catholic?
Yeah, I'm a happy-go-lucky person. I'm very, but I also like my alone time. I do enjoy my solo time. I am looking for my life partner, but I'm not in a rush, although I'm almost 40. Like, I don't have this huge pressure on myself. I love expanding people's minds. I love personal development. I love talking to people. I love connecting with people.
I love that. You're full of energy. I can tell. Like I can. you're 5'2" and you got a 6'2" personality. Right? But for finding your life partner, you know, hence you did go on a show. Hence that's very, very important to you. Why is that? Did you struggle having relationships? Sound like you had a pretty bad breakup before. Maybe your first love. Do you have like a deep connection with your dad and, you know, he's the greatest man that's been in your life and no one will ever give you that kind of love and, you know, hold that much responsibility. No man will ever match that.
Yes and no. I've never been like a big serial dater. You know, friends of mine go on dates like 5 a week and I'm like, nope, that's like 5 a year for me. despite being single, quote unquote, for a long time, I definitely... If I'm interested in a guy, I have had the tendency to hold on to them longer than I should have. Again, that's the fixer in me. Like, I'm like, oh, and what was it? Like a year ago, I was reading through, I've watched the movie Eat, Love, Pray, and I'm in the middle of writing a book too.
You're in the middle of writing a book?
Yeah. I've been in the middle of writing a book for a year. but I had watched the Eat, Love, Pray movie and I loved this quote. So I went on Google as I'm like writing one of my passages in my book. And I was like, I was going to quote the movie. So I'm trying to find this quote and I come across another one. And it was basically her saying that she falls in love with the potential of the person versus the reality of what they are. And I was like, boom, that is me. Holy shit. I made a post about it. I was like, this is so good. Like this is why I'm single, because I hold on to the hope that this person is going to become what I see in them. Like I do, I see so much potential in people. I mean, guys that I've dated in the past that obviously haven't worked out. I'm like, I knew they could be so great. Like I know they could be so great. And I like want to empower them and inspire them. But I'm like, okay, but you can't fix them. You can't change them. Like it just is what it is. What you see is what you get. Like, granted, yes, I have changed somewhat, but there are certain behaviors that I still do that I recognize it's like deep rooted patterning, you know, and I'm for that's everybody. But with that being said,
no, I think it might just be you. Maybe
it might just be me. But I think that was it. I mean, there was a guy like in 2016, 17, I held on to that forever. And I just couldn't like move past it. And then I met someone else that I got kind of like involved in again, and great, this person I had never met like in real life or just like social media friends. We had talked on the phone a handful of times, but I got very like, I was very interested in this person, and then he started dating someone else that was more local to him, and I was like, oh, but you said you wanted to meet me. Like, meet me a chance. Like, let's just meet in person, you know? And I got that like graspy, needy energy. And that's kind of what I do. I get that like anxious attachment style popping up, as grounded as I can be. It does happen. But those are things that I've worked on in these last few years, is to try and become more secure and just fill up my own cup and stay focused on myself, and the right person who is most aligned is going to come in. And I think that just therapy and healing and whatever else I've been doing to shift my perspective on things, I think that's why I don't have that societal like pressure and that rush, like, oh my God, you're almost 40 and you like, I don't even think about like freezing my eggs. Like, I'm like, oh, that's like,
yeah.
Doesn't even like, I just don't think about it.
Well, I'm not thinking for you, but I would argue to say that maybe it does come across your mind. And I think it's very fair thoughts to be like, I am almost 40. I do need to fucking meet my life partner.
Well, yes. Yeah.
You know, I'm
not going to like settle for someone to be like, okay, sure. Well, you know,
I sure, would rather take those things. But, yeah, sure. And I, you know, utmost respect versus I think most people unfortunately do settle. I believe divorce rates are at like 60%. And a lot of people say, which whether they're right or wrong, that's not the point in terms of, well, it's not like it used to be, or like our parents or grandparents. Well, dude, did they have Instagram and did they have reality TV to understand that there's more people out there?
Right.
Their lifestyle was way different. And then also, if their generation was maybe half of that as far as divorce rate, how many of them are actually happy? Whether they're 40, 80, 90, how many of them are actually happy? And how many of them actually get a divorce after the kids leave the house and it's actually just a business deal? It's just like, yo, I don't even talk to you. We don't even have sex. We don't even look at each other in the eyes. We'd have zero intimacy. It's hey, how are you? It's like, you know, you're dead in between your ears and you're just getting the kids to get them the hell out to college and then you go your separate ways. You know, I don't think really anyone has it all obviously figured out, of course. But the flip of that, though, is admiring the commitment, though, admiring like, no, we got married. We're going to see this bad boy all the way through, because the inverse of that is going on social media, is clicking on certain accounts. Next thing you know, your explore page is half naked women, half naked men, or half naked whatever you're into. And you're like, oh, click, click, click. And the algorithm is so good to where your next thing you know, you're like, oh, I didn't even know this person lived in the same city as me. And I can see they're like, it's crazy, right? To where it makes you not disciplined. And just abundance, in my opinion, can make people very soft. Again, I think abundance can make people very soft. It doesn't make them disciplined to see like, well, we can just get a new job. We can get, you know, if you're not happy, move on. I was like, no, fucking try to work through it. So it's relationships, like anything, is tough. It's not just, in my opinion, yes or no, black and white, right or wrong. There's obviously a lot more complexity to it. But for you looking for, let's maybe not put the pressure on the audience or yourself to say, you know, the one that you'll marry, but at least somebody that's, you know, lucky enough to land a date with you. Like, what are three things you look for in somebody, in a man, that whether it's hobbies, characteristics, like what are three things you look for? And then what's maybe like one or two absolute deal breakers?
Yeah.
That I get out of my DMs. You're not going to get a date with me.
Yay. Yeah. As far as the pros on that, just very, I would say very emotionally like supportive, can be vulnerable. And yeah, if they're like talking to me about life stuff in the DMs before we've even on a date, like, I'm like, that's awesome. You know, like, I love that they feel safe enough to share this with me. So yeah, I would say vulnerability, emotionally safe. And then someone who's ambitious. Like, I love the fact that, you know, yeah, I want someone to be just as ambitious as I am, if not more. Like, but granted, with that, I don't want them to be a workaholic that they don't have time for me. So, you know, there's got to be some type of balance. So yeah, ambition, that, just loyal, like a lot of kind guy, just a really kind guy. Someone that would
Have you been cheated on before?
Yeah, I have.
I think I read this statistic as well. Google's great. And whether it's right or wrong, it's probably more accurate than me. But according to Google, I believe that upwards of 60% of kids are actually not the fathers. And that was insanely shocking to me because I'm like, yo, I thought men were the only cheaters. Women are doing this shit too. Would you say that like friends that you know, and maybe we'll put your friends on blast, or maybe we will put your friends on blast. Women that you know, do you think they cheat more than men realize?
Not the ones that I know.
Good answer.
Yeah, not the ones that I know.
Maybe the ones they know.
Right. Maybe so. Yeah. I mean, there have been situations in my life, like I've known of people that a scenario, you know, someone got pregnant and then thinking it's the boyfriend the whole time, baby comes out, baby don't look like boyfriend. And they do the
mailman.
And it's definitely someone else's baby, you know? So it's
the Amazon guy dropping off the packages every Thursday. Oh boy.
No.
But yeah. I cut you off there. You said vulnerability.
Like emotionally safe and ambitious. And I said like kind of loyal, but also I want someone that is just extremely helpful, like proactive. Like I like someone who I've had this. I'll give you an example. Someone who is going like I have a handful of girlfriends saying have lovely husbands and the husbands are just like they're on it. They've already done it before the wives can ask them to do it, you know? And I'm like, God, he's so good. Or, you know, I have like guy friends of mine. I'm like, oh, I like think about something. And then like, let's say I'm thinking, I don't know, like, hey, you want to go eat something? They're like, or I say I'm hungry or something. And they like call me later and like, hey, like I'm going to the store. Like, you want me to pick you up some food? Right. Versus being like, well, she's going to go get food on her own. I don't know. It's like, they're just thoughtful, very thoughtful. That's it. They're very thoughtful. Whereas I've dated guys before and like before the guy comes over to hang out or something or whatever, I'm like, oh my God, you're going to maybe go there later. God, I love this, you know, this type of food or whatever. And then like come to my house, like empty handed. I'm like, bro.
You're like, it's supposed to.
I dropped a hint. I would like this. Show up with it. This is funny. I saw a meme earlier. A few weeks ago, but I'm like, I am a very low maintenance person. I'm not like, I mean, my love language is quality time. We don't have to go to all the things. You don't need to buy me things. Like you really don't, like, despite what I just said, like I would be fine with you just coming over, thinking about me to, hey babe, I'm going grocery shopping. Do you want to just come with me? Like, I love spending time with you. Would love a companion to go birthday. I would love that. I forgot where I was going with that. But
yeah, Five Love Languages, very great book in terms of like relationships and seeing people's priority of, you know, what they enjoy. Like you said, you know, quality time. Like you would rather somebody that is thoughtful in terms of like, hey, I'm going to work really hard today, but like I'm going to have a hard cut off. And then, you know, Kelly and I are going to go do something fun together, hang out. And it doesn't have to be like me getting her a purse or taking her to a crazy event or something. If you want to, right? Like,
yeah, if you want to.
If you want to, like, yeah, go ahead.
Dressed up.
Yeah, go ahead. But you just like, yeah, gentleman, right? Just a gentleman. Yeah. That's
thoughtful gentleman. Absolutely. Someone that still opens the doors, you know, buys me flowers just because they know I like them. Not because it's our anniversary.
It's Thursday. You know, yeah, it's Thursday, not because it's Valentine's Day. It's a random Thursday. And you know, it's got to be tough too, not to like, I would imagine like 30 to like 45 or maybe 35 to 45, like right where you are. It's like such a unique generation in terms of like, you know what it's like growing up with no technology to then like everything's technology and you can meet anyone you want in the world and one DM or one pod, whatever it is, like you can meet anyone you want these days. And then there's all these dating apps and it's like, you know, what's wrong with hooking up with some people? But yet, like, that's not going to usually end well. You know, that's not going to be as helpful as buying Bitcoin. It's tough. And I'm sure you're like, I don't even want to meet somebody there. You know, usually usually it's like, where do you enjoy being and like trying to be there more? Like you're maybe not going to find them. Maybe you will, right? But like you're maybe not going to find them at the bar because that's maybe not fully where you enjoy. Like maybe Kelly will find him at the gym or whatever it may be. So all you're looking for is a guy that's 6'4", makes a couple six figures, is done at 5 o'clock. He's jacked. He's tan. He's got lovely, you know, hair like me. And simple, right?
Exactly.
How much to ask for?
100%. Yeah. I know. And you asked like a couple of things that a hard no. And it's like just the opposite of that. Like if they're not going to be emotionally safe, if they are very dismissive of a person, I don't want that. I've done a lot of coaching and therapy to know how to communicate with people. And if someone can't communicate back, that's not a healthy relationship. You know, so.
What's the best way to communicate? This is another reason why I love the podcast show. I talk about it all the time. It's the most foundational piece of people and relationships is communication, because communication builds that trust. And that's, you know, right alongside the key of foundation of relationships, whether it's personal relationships, professional relationships, whatever it may be. But going through therapy, working on your mindset and just the journey that you've been on, what's been most helpful for communication?
Like listening. And then I would say kind of almost like acknowledging, listening and acknowledging, like validating that person's thoughts and how they're feeling about a situation. I mean, I would love for more people to be able to do that, you know, collectively. I mean, granted, there are times when I interrupt, I cut people off. I mean, I'm human. I still do those things, but I'm aware of it. And I try and I immediately, as soon as I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Sorry. I'm just like my impatience. You said something and I want to like interact on it. But yeah, so it's definitely a practice. It's daily practice for me to have to do. But I mean, even like in my full-time job, I mean, that's where I have to listen to my clients and thought so that I can properly respond with the solution that needs to come in. So
yeah, most people are saying in some type of form of communication what they want or don't want, right? Whether they're being assertive to say like, hey, I need this from you. That's about as straightforward as it's going to be. Or people will communicate passively, or the good old fashioned cold shoulder, right? No communication at all. But with the podcast, what's like on your mind right now, right? Like you're out there, you're ready to accept 3 to 4 dates for this year. So, you know, for those wanting to shoot their shot, you better meet that list. You better be 6'4", Jack, tan, making bread. Ready to buy flowers. I'm teasing. I'm joking. I think that's a great list. And based on our conversation, you deserve just that and more. So, but now what's the next move? It seems like you're kind of ready for like that next breakthrough and you're ready to get the podcast show back out there again. You're going to be releasing the book. Like what's on Kelly's mind? Like, what are you ready to share with the world? So,
How's that? Yeah, I mean, just more of me. Like, you know, I talked to my camera, like my Instagram stories for the first time in a while the other day. And I was like, yeah, it felt so good. It felt so good. Just do that. I want to do more of that. And just I put on my stories too last week about just like connecting with other. I was like, this is what I'm looking for. Single entrepreneurial minded woman that, you know, lives in or near the Buckhead, Atlanta, Georgia area, who's, you know, spiritual, but also likes to have a cocktail or two sometimes. Like, you know, I'm looking for that person. And I had probably like 20 girls like responded, and some were out of state and they were like, oh my God, this is so me, but I live in like Arkansas. I'm like, that's great. But, you know, I'd love to put together some type of like local community of women. So that's my like on my to-do list is following up with all these women, getting maybe a, hey, like we're all going to meet at this restaurant and like have like a little like meet and greet kind of thing. So I just think getting more involved in the things that I love doing, surrounding myself with more of the people that like doing very similar things. Most of my friends, but all of my, I mean, one of my best friends, I think my last best friend just got engaged. So I'm the last Mohegan.
Do they give you a hard time? Do they give you like a hard time with that? Or is it?
No, they don't. But I mean, it is obviously a regular, every time I see my friend, are you dating anybody? You know, have you been on any dates? So like, no, kind of in the season of just like working on, you know, business stuff, getting the podcast relaunched, all that. And, you know, but it'll happen, you know, and there's a part of me that just has this like knowingness in a sense of like, I don't feel like these last few years I've been where I wanted to be, and not that love has conditions and all that, but I just don't feel like it's like divine timing yet for that person to come. Like if they came in anytime sooner than now, I don't think it would have worked.
Yeah, you know, so. It's not even the timing. It's you weren't the person that you wanted and needed to be.
Correct. Exactly. Yeah. So I feel like I've just found a very good trajectory into the direction I want to be going right now. And I've always thought to myself, I'm like, I am a tall order. Like not just any John Smith can, John Doe can handle me. I'm not going to step out of the spotlight. I am relaunching a podcast. I essentially want to do podcast show tours. Like I want to be in the spotlight. I'm a Leo. We like the spotlight. And I crave it. I really do. I enjoy having a microphone in my hand. I like doing things to just create impact and be seen and be heard. And I want someone who is either equal to that or someone who can hold that.
When you say spiritual and, you know, bring up Leo, are you like religious? Do you believe in God? Or do you just like worship crystals and you're...
Yeah.
Does that work?
No, I do have some crystals, but I don't, you know, I don't like energize them in the sunlight or the moonlight.
You got a couple laying around here. You're like, oh, I got three or four of these bad boys around here.
Yeah, I like things that are pretty. So it's more or less probably why I have them. And I do understand a little bit of their property, but... No, I do believe in God, but I've had a very interesting religious spiritual journey. I refer to myself as spiritual because I'm not super religious. And I will give an example on that. Like a girlfriend of mine, she was like, hey, like I saw that you were looking, you know, to connect with more like-minded women in the Atlanta area. You know, my church does like small groups and things like that. And I was like, great, love it. I know that they do. Like, but I don't know if I'm there yet to like go into a small group at a church, read Bible verses and connect. And granted, I've never been. I don't know if that's what they do. I'm just making an assumption. That's probably what they do is read Bible verses. And,
they okay. say that they say the Catholics just go to happy hour. So maybe.
Right.
I'm joking. No way. I think I made another Catholic joke. There's nothing wrong with being Catholic. Okay?
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. I was raised Catholic.
Makes sense. Yep. See? Perfect.
So I just, but growing up, was raised Catholic, went through, you know, confirmation and everything. And my mom was like in Catholic school, like growing up. And anyway, so I never felt connected to anything. Just never did. And I didn't go to church for a very long time. I mean, I still don't go to church. Like I go like on, like, we went on Easter Sunday. We may go on Christmas, you know, that kind of thing, but not like a regular church family. My dad is non-denominational, so he doesn't go. But so I've been very disconnected, and since 2018, when I started my whole like personal development journey and like just diving into like the self-care and self-love a lot more, I started to, whenever I'm outside, I feel most connected. Like nature is my church, and I feel very, very like there is a very, very big higher power making us all work, you know? So I feel that. I like, do I necessarily believe in the stories of Jesus and God? And all? I don't know. Like, I'm still on this journey of wrapping my head around things. But do I use the word God? Do I pray to God? Yeah, I do. But I also use the word universe. And I'm like, yeah, I think that, you know, pray to God, angels, universe, you know, kind of thing. So I don't have like one way or the other that I am. So I think that's why I just kind of label myself spiritual.
Yeah, I feel like I didn't grow up like, you know, going to church every single Sunday, like what often. And then actually in high school, my you know, girlfriend at the time during high school, they, her family was Catholic. So I went to mass and, you know, it was fine. Like, it wasn't like a negative experience. Like, definitely, you know, it was more positive than negative. In fact, I don't think I ever had like technically a negative experience, but I do remember like, it was kind of confusing. I'm like, oh, we're getting up. Okay. We're getting down. Okay. Why is this person just splashed water on me? What the fuck's going on? Am I the devil they're trying to get out of here? I'm confused. I'm getting a little warm now. Oh boy. What the fuck is going on? So I think that's what, at least what would make sense to me is people that like went to church every Sunday. And then you're like, it's like early on a Sunday, you're a kid and someone's blabbering up there. You don't even know what they're saying. And you're like, ah, then I got to go to the separate room. And so it makes sense, right? Because like the way the scripture is written. And again, I've shared this a lot over the last year in the podcast show, just like, you know, still feel very early in my journey of Christianity and God. And it never was like a non-believer. I think that we're definitely on a very spiritual experience. And for me, just like actually diving into the Bible more, like watching content online, which is wisdom to be like, oh, that's what that meant. Okay, I can see how that correlates to my life or, you know, experiences I've gone through. So using it as like a tool, right? Like using it as like a way to essentially like meditate in a way, right? To like watch certain things and just kind of think through it. So
that's a good one. I mean, it's interesting because when I responded to my friend about, you know, maybe it would be helpful for you to join a small group, you know, I responded in how I said, and then, you know, since then I've literally thought about that text to be like, well, maybe I'm just opposed to it because it's something I've been opposed to for a while.
Yeah.
Like, and maybe, I mean, yes, I read like, what is it? Like Daily Stoic, like little meditations, things like that. And there are times I will actually Google and be like, what's the Bible verse of the day to see if it like, there's a message that I need to hear. So maybe, yeah, maybe let's just.
Yeah, you should go.
Little brat, Kelly, and go to freaking church and go to the small room. Going.
See, what like kind of like in a way like broke my brain with all this was I tore my Achilles slightly over a year ago. I was laying in a blow up mattress and I was like very low in life, right? Like when you don't have your health, in my opinion, you have basically nothing. And, you know, just kind of like started just having these like experiences and feelings and like just started kind of doing some work, looking things up, going down different rabbit holes and stuff. And just kind of just had this like feeling, you know, that had been building up for months. And then it just kind of hit me at once when I tore my Achilles. And when you look at, and there's nothing against him, like, I'm not saying that like horoscopes are bad, any of that, because, you know, I'm Aries and I like looking at that stuff and I like numerology as well. Like, I think it's all intriguing and super fascinating. But then you can see like, oh yeah, that's actually like this Bible verse. Or like when I have a thought that I'm like, yo, I'm a genius. Like, this is great. This is fire. Then I Google it or write it through ChatGPT. To like see if that's like a Bible, I'm like, oh, it's a fucking Bible verse. So I have like this weird conspiracy brain of like the matrix and the algorithm that like every thought we have or experience is like, it's in the Bible. There's just stories over lifetimes of like, hey, these are things that will probably happen to you and this is how you deal with them and you're not alone. And I just use it as a tool. So yeah, I would encourage you to like, hey, worst case you go and you're like, oh, that was dumb.
Right. I think that's why I've been like ruminating on it. Cause I'm like, that was kind of a closed-minded response, Kelly. Like, thank you, but I don't think I'm there yet. I'll let you know.
Yeah. And it's like, well, if you have no idea, and I'm telling you this and I'm like, I don't even go to Bible study. It's now I'm talking to a mirror now. Like I've been wanting to go and I got some buddies and people
all the time. I'm like, yeah, a client or I'm on the podcast and I'm like suggesting them and I'm like, maybe you should take your own advice, Kelly.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think that's why people are sick of like the coaches and consultants and stuff. He's like, dude, you don't even fucking do this. But for me to, you know, help my ego out here, I got some clients and friends and whatnot that like we do connect separately. But as far as like, there's just something about, you already know it. It's like what you're saying with the podcast. It's what you want to do. I think it's just like, oh, cool. You can leverage that in a good way. Like you have no ill intent, but it's like, hey, you meet those 10 10 women, like maybe they could be the first 10 women that show up to your podcast. And maybe, and you and I both know this, having a lot of podcast shows, meeting a lot of people, networking. It's like, do people that you just meet that are quote unquote everyday people, like they usually got like the dopest story and they've never been on a show. So you're getting like the most authentic side. They're not fucking copy and paste from one podcast show to another. And I think it's just more relatable. People resonated with it more. And hey, worst case, you're like, I don't really get much from hearing the Bible stuff. I just like hanging out with Sarah. I like with that person, you know? So
that's true. Okay. I'll look into it.
I'll consider it. We'll look into it.
I'll consider it. I will. I'm leaning in. That was a great question.
Well, Kelly, I had a blast. I don't want to keep you here. I think we went to, we're actually over a little bit. So I apologize about that. Hopefully you had that extra time. But anything else you want to share? Anything else on your mind? Anything else on your heart? Maybe stuff that you have going on, coming up? For people to know, like you said, like, you want people to know more about you. Hence why you have, again, podcast show getting relaunched. I'm sure you have more things you want to say. You got guests that you probably should interrupt. Like I have a couple times with you, right? Like, so all that said, this is the time to get it off your chest. This is podcast therapy. So
yeah. Thank you. Thanks for having me on. I was going to say, you know, as cliche and simple as it sounds, but like really staying true to yourself, I mean, is like so key and so powerful to help you just excel in every area of your life. And I don't think that you realize that you're not being true to yourself until you're not being true to yourself. And you're like in it. And it's like, if you feel resistance, you feel frustrated, you feel shame, you feel guilt, like all these things, these are very clear indicators that you're not connected to yourself anymore. Or you start like looking for external validation and all this stuff, like, or getting that needy graspy with other people, come back home to yourself, create a self-care plan and just start focusing on yourself as much as possible. And that will help bring you back home to yourself. That is my biggest advice, because that's what I've had to do. Otherwise, relaunching the podcast, super excited about that. There will be a lot of solo episodes and guest episodes. Because again, I do have a lot to say, and I think I just sometimes maybe a 15-minute episode might be all I need, or maybe an hour and 15. But relaunching the podcast, I do have a digital course called Goddess Magic. It's a compilation of the content that I've created over the years for various coaching programs, and I've just put it all in one umbrella. So it's like mindset coaching, like money mindset, relationship, self-love coaching, like boundaries, that kind of thing. And then there is a section on actually how to create a digital course of your own, if that's something you're interested in. So I do think that they're all connected in some way. And then I explain heavily like how the conscious and subconscious mind works and all of that to help you really understand the science of everything. But that's, you can go on the link in my bio to find that. It'll also be, in the link in my show notes on my podcast too, and my website. You can find me on Instagram. That's where I show up the most, at Chase Life with Kelly. I do have a TikTok. It's I Am Kelly Chase. And then my YouTube is the YouTube, and then like at Chase Life with Kelly as well. And that's just pretty much the YouTube for now, is just the video content of my podcast.
Nice.
Yeah.
Two things you said that I wrote down, which I think is awesome. Can you explain like conscious mind versus subconscious mind? Now, if you want people like, hey, no, Tyler, like go buy my course. That's fine.
No. Cause it's so much deeper. So they would get a lot more evolved content in the program. But
this is your conscious mind. This is your subconscious mind. Like this is an example of how this shit works.
Yeah. So my thought, conscious mind is like, okay, I know that I'm moving my hand right now. I know that I'm talking. I know I'm speaking to Tyler.
You do it like one direction and then the other?
No, I can't. I cannot. I can do it. But yeah, so it's very like you are aware that you are doing these certain things. We're having these certain thoughts. Subconscious mind. So our subconscious is actually operating 95% of our thoughts. 95% of our thoughts are subconscious. They are on autopilot. That's like you getting up in the morning, go brush your teeth. It's like you are just on autopilot in the things that you're doing. So what that means, though, if 95% of your thoughts are in your subconscious, you're not aware of these thoughts. So what a lot of coaches in therapy, how that helps you to, it actually helps you to identify some of these subconscious thoughts. Like, why do you do what you do? Why are you thinking this way? And it's like, oh, well, you know, or why did you get triggered in that scenario? Well, it's because my sister did this to me when I was 4 years old. But that's a thought you haven't thought of since you were 4 years old, right? And it's like, but something happened that day that created a little trauma or a big T trauma that was an impact on you. And therefore, your subconscious stored that memory. And maybe the reason why you got triggered at 38 years old was because of that thing. It reminded you subconsciously, it reminded you of that story. And but otherwise, you're like, I don't know why I just acted that way. I don't know why I just lashed out on that person in traffic, you know, but it's because of these stories. There's familiarity, but you're not aware. So we help to break that down. And because your body is, because you are operating on 95% of those subconscious thoughts that you're not aware of, your body, like your actual actions, are a result of those subconscious thoughts. So if you're feeling insecure, you're like, okay, why am I feeling so insecure? Oh, it's because I am constantly consuming content on social media. I'm constantly like around very negative people. I'm constantly like, that is all subliminally like affecting you and going to your subconscious. And your subconscious is like, well, I must be insecure too, or I don't have that. I should have that. I should be further along than I am. Oh my gosh, like all these things. And then you're like, you wonder why you're such an insecure person. It's that.
Yeah. Yeah, the biggest way to lose joy and to not be happy is to compare. The fastest way to not have a joyful, happy life is to compare. And that's a great explanation, right? Like our brain and our mind and our mind, in my opinion, the way I look at it is like an iceberg, right? Like the surface level shit, right? That's our conscious mind. And in reality, 90-95% of it is the iceberg below. It's the iceberg below the water, like what you don't technically see. And, you know, that comes into like rewiring your brain and, you know, all that cool stuff. Last thing though is I don't know if you have this created or not. I think this would be kind of cool for you to put something out there, even if it's like something free that people can download at the, you know, with your podcast show and somewhere on your social media accounts, is your self-care plan that you admit. I think that's cool. Like, you know, people journal, they write down affirmations. You know, there's a lot of guests will come on shows, like there's something unique that they do or that have their clients do, and a protocol, tenet that they'll follow, routines, right? And in my personal opinion, you got to be, maybe I'm just being a sissy about this, I don't know. For me, I have to be a little careful with like exact time, exact things. It's more of a, hey, no, I'm going to get all this shit done today. It's just, I may not go to the gym until later, and or the next 3 days I'm going to go in the morning. But I think sometimes people get a little too like when you start working on yourself and, you know, making growth and stuff, we almost become like addicts and junkies to being personal development. And like, we have to check the box. We have to tell social media that we did it, versus like, hey dude, you can just also do that shit without letting the world know. Or you can just do it later in the day. Like, it is what it is. But for you, the self-care plan, like, what are some things that you've implemented over the last 6 months, maybe the last couple of years, that are just like non-negotiables for you? Not you're doing them because you need some type of fulfillment or feel better about yourself. It's like, yo, this shit changed my life. Or like, not, I don't have to do it. I get to do it.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. So I read a book in 2018, The Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod. And he, these actions changed his life. So I incorporated these actions into mine, and they're legit called the Life Savers. And so it's, Savers is an acronym. The S is for like silence, prayer, meditation, like breath work. A is for affirmations, B, visualizations, E, exercise, R, reading. And then the last S is for scribing, AKA journaling. So I will take, you know, I usually do, I have a YouTube, usually use YouTube, but a YouTube like meditation visualization that I'll put in. So I'll do kind of kill two birds with one stone and do the meditation and visualization. Listen to that. It's like 25 minutes long. I'll listen to that. Usually I train, like I get up at 5 a.m. Not every morning. Didn't get up at 5 a.m. this morning. I did, and I put my meditation on, and then I fell asleep to it, and then I didn't wake up till 7:30. But usually I'll wake up early, and so I have like a full hour to myself in the morning, or, you know, even the birds start chirping, and I do that meditation visualization. I'll do maybe like 5 minutes of affirmations, and that may be like listening to a YouTube video of affirmations, or I'll sit there and write out affirmations. And then reading, I'll read like the Daily Stoic, the little meditations, or different books that I may be reading at the time, usually personal development. I'll read a few pages of it, close it up, and then I'll journal out some gratitude or just things that are on my mind, clear my head a little bit for the day. And then I go work out. And that could be literally if I didn't wake up early enough, maybe it's a 5 minute, just little like yoga stretching movement series in my bedroom on the floor. Or it's going to a yoga class or doing like a beach body program in my living room or going to lift weights somewhere. So, and those six things just really help, like I said, to just connect to yourself. And it's felt really good. I like going for walks outside too. That's really my favorite.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, that's what I got the Oura Ring on here, tracking the steps and tracking the sleep. But yeah, we'll clip it out to say that you wake up at 5 a.m. no matter what.
No matter what.
This.
Yeah.
Well, Kelly, this has been incredible to chat with you. I appreciate you sharing more about yourself. And I'm excited to see your podcast show get relaunched. I'll definitely check it out. And anyone that wants to connect with you, all your info and stuff will be below in the description. And yeah, if you need anything from me, let me know. Appreciate you coming on here doing this. And also, we did have to move the times around and whatnot. So I appreciate your patience of dealing with my chaotic schedule.
No, you're totally fine. It all worked out the way it was supposed to. So thank you.
Appreciate it.